Simon & Schuster Audio presents Giant Steps. Small changes to make a big difference. Daily lessons in self-mastery. Written and read by Anthony Robbins. Giant Steps is based on his number one bestseller, Awaken the Giant Within. Also available in quality paperback, the Giant Steps book features 365 inspirational daily messages, many of which include exercises for improving your mental, emotional, physical, and financial destiny.
Hi, this is Anthony Robbins. I want to welcome you. I know that whoever you are and whatever success you've already achieved in your life, or whatever challenges you may currently be experiencing, I know that what brought you to this audio program is your desire for results. And as a fellow traveler on this amazing journey we call life, I really want to salute you for your dedication and your commitment, because so many people talk about making their lives better, but they don't do anything about it. But you know what? You're following through. If you're listening to my voice right now, you're a person of action. And I want to both congratulate you and promise you that if you're willing to play full out and continue to act on what you learn in this program, that you'll be rewarded far beyond your expectations, which I'm sure are quite high. Now, Giant Steps is based upon the finest tools, techniques, principles, and strategies that are offered in my number one bestseller, Awaken the Giant Within. My goal in writing Giant Steps is twofold. First, to inspire you. And second, to funnel that energy into measurable results for getting you to consistently take some kind of action from what you've just learned. Together, these daily inspirations and these small actions will lead to giant steps forward in the quality of your life. Now, I've designed this program to fit easily into your busy lifestyle by helping you to turn these philosophies and strategies and techniques into sort of little bite-sized chunks that you can easily digest in just a few minutes a day. That way, you don't have to listen to the entire program all at once. In fact, it might be better to listen to just one or two passages at a time and then act on these rather than just taking in more and more information. In fact, use this program in any way that serves you best. But I suggest the optimal approach is to listen to one single passage, to think for a few moments about how it relates to your life, and then to immediately write down your thoughts and reactions to what you just heard in either a notebook or a hardbound journal. This way, you're more likely to incorporate these skills into your life and produce the results that I know you're committed to. Now, of course, if you're listening to this in your car, be sure to make some time later on to fill out a journal, but you can still think about the ideas and how it relates to your life. Of course, my purpose in just sharing this with you is I really want to help you to achieve the maximum result possible with the smallest investment of your time. And above all, I want to invite you and I want to challenge you to immediately act upon what you hear. Because after all, what good is inspiration if it's not backed up by action? And finally, I want to thank you for the gift of allowing me to share these skills with you. I hope that something in this program, a single sentence, a compelling thought, a strategy, an exercise, a powerful idea, will somehow move you in a special way and get you to take your life to a new level of quality. If so, I'll feel very fortunate indeed. So let's not talk anymore. Let's get started. Let's start taking action with giant steps, small changes that make a big difference, a set of daily lessons in self-mastery. Part 1, Dreams of Destiny. We all have dreams. We all want to believe deep down in our souls that we have a special gift, that we can make a difference, that we can touch others in a special way, and that we can somehow make the world a better place. What's one of your aspirations? Maybe it's a dream you've forgotten or have begun to relinquish. If that vision were alive today, what would your life be like? Would you have more inspiration? Take a moment right now and just dream. Think about what would you really want for your life if you could have it any way you wanted it.
Hey
It's not what we do once in a while that counts, but our consistent actions are what make the real difference. And by the way, what is the father of all action? What ultimately determines who we become and where we go in our lives? The answer is our decisions. You see, it's in the moments of decision that our destiny is truly shaped. More than anything else, I believe our decisions, not the conditions of our lives, determine our ultimate destiny. Who would have thought that the conviction of a quiet, unassuming man, a lawyer by trade and a pacifist by principle, would have the power to topple a vast empire? Yet Mahatma Gandhi's decision, his belief in nonviolence as a means of helping India's people to regain control of their country, set in motion an unexpected chain of events. Realize the power of a single decision acted upon immediately and with utter conviction. The secret is to make a public commitment, one so forceful you can't turn back once you've made it. While many thought that was an impossible dream, Gandhi's consistent commitment to his decision made it become an undeniable reality. What could you do? What could you accomplish if you invoked a similar level of passion, conviction, and action to create unstoppable momentum in your life starting today? Each of us is endowed with innate resources that enable us to achieve whatever we dream of and more. The floodgates can be opened by one decision, bringing us either joy or sorrow, prosperity or poverty, companionship or solitude, a long life, or for that matter, an early death. I want to challenge you to make a decision today. Don't just listen to this program. Do something you've been putting off. Master a new skill. Treat people with a newfound love or respect or compassion. Call someone you haven't spoken to in years. And just know something. Know that all decisions have consequences for your life. Even making no decision at all is a decision in its own way. What decisions have you made or failed to make in the past that have powerfully influenced your life even today? And what new decision could you make right now? We all have goals, whether we know it or not. No matter what they have a profound effect on our lives. Yet some of our goals, such as I need to pay my lousy bills, certainly lack inspiration. They're not going to give you anything in your life. They're going to pull you down. So the secret of unleashing your true power is to set goals that are exciting enough that they truly inspire your creativity and they ignite your passion. So right now, consciously choose your goals. Brainstorm everything worth pursuing in your life. Then pick a single goal that excites you the most, something that will get you up early and keep you up late, and assign a deadline for achieving it. And then think about why you must absolutely attain it by that date. Is it grand enough to challenge you, to push you beyond your limits, to uncover your true potential? Find one that does that to you right now. Never leave the sight of a goal without first taking some form of positive action towards its attainment. Right now, take a moment to define the first steps you must take to achieve your goal. In other words, you can't just write down a goal and say, now I'm going to get it. The question is, what are you going to do? What can you do today to move yourself forward? Even the smallest step, a phone call, a commitment, sketching out an initial plan will put you closer to your goal. Then develop a list of simple things you can do every day for the next 10 days. These 10 consecutive days of action will create a chain of habits, and they'll begin to build for you that force we all need to succeed, unstoppable momentum. This is what ensures long-term success. So begin creating that momentum right now. If your first attempt at achieving your goals seems futile, should you move on and do something else? Absolutely not. Persistence overshadows even talent as the most valuable resource in shaping the quality of people's lives. After all, no one ever achieved a goal by being interested in its achievement. One must be committed. Isn't it possible that some of the short-term, quote, failures may actually have provided you with the necessary insights or distinctions to create an even greater success in your future? I can tell you from personal experience that this is true. So look back right now over your past, quote, unsuccessful attempts and ask yourself, what have I learned? How can I use these insights to create great success, not only today, but in my future as well? All people who succeed, consciously or unconsciously, utilize the same formula for success. They use four simple steps to achieve whatever they desire. First, you must decide what you want, and you must be precise. Remember that clarity is power. Second, you got to take massive action, because desire by itself is not enough. Thirdly, you've got to notice what's working and what's not working. You don't want to continue to expend energy on an approach that's worthless just because it's part of your plan. And step four, when you notice it's not working, you got to change your approach until you achieve what you want. Flexibility gives you the power to create a brand new approach and a brand new result for your life. And this can be done in a moment, the moment you're willing to be flexible. What is the ultimate goal? Perhaps it's aspiring to contribute something of real value. Finding a way to help others that we care about deeply can inspire us for really a lifetime. There's always a place in the world for those who are willing to give of their time, their energy, their capital, their creativity, and their commitment. What simple act of kindness could you show another person today? Decide right now to take some kind of action, and be sure to appreciate how this makes you feel. And by the way, it doesn't have to be a huge action. It could just be a simple act of kindness. Please, try this today. Comedian George Burns understands the importance of having something to look forward to, the power of goals, if you will. Summing up his life's philosophy, he said, quote, "You have to have something to get you out of bed. I can't do anything in bed anyway. The most important thing is to have a point, a direction, something you're headed for." Now in his 90s, he's still sharpening his wits, still taking on movie and TV projects. He's even booked himself for a performance at the London Palladium in the year 2000, when, by the way, he'll be 104 years old. How's that for creating a compelling future? You see, most people overestimate what they can do in a year, and they completely underestimate what they can do in a decade. What will you be doing 10 years from now? Think of something you enjoy or experience today that once was merely a goal. Many obstacles may have intervened in your pursuit of its attainment, yet now it's part of your life. So as you follow your new dream and encounter obstacles, remember, you've been through this before, and you've broken through, and you've succeeded. That memory can guide you to a new level of success, especially during tough times. The human spirit is truly unconquerable. The will to win, the will to succeed, to shape one's life, to take control, can be harnessed only when you decide what you want and when you believe that no challenge, no problem, no obstacle can keep you from it. Obstacles are merely a call to you to strengthen your resolve and to achieve your worthwhile goals, to do whatever it takes to make it happen now. Part 2, How to Get What You Really Want. To get what you want, you must discover what's preventing you from taking action. Think of something you avoided doing until the last minute. Let's take your taxes, for example. Isn't it true that you put it off simply to avoid the pain of the moment, only to experience even greater pain later on? But even though you put it off, and very often people do this by saying, you know, I should do this, I should do that, I should follow through. They don't actually change, they just what I call should all over themselves. But what usually happens around April 14th is a change. Suddenly our procrastination disappears because we quickly change what we believe will bring us either pain or pleasure. Suddenly not taking action is much more painful than just doing it. How can you use this understanding to change your life? In the future, instead of asking, oh, how can I avoid doing this painful task, or why do I have to do this, use some leverage on yourself. Ask, if I don't take action now, what will this ultimately cost me? See, pain can be your friend if you really use it effectively. Are we merely animals responding like Pavlov's dog to punishment and reward? Of course not. One of the miracles of being a human is that we can decide what causes us pain and what causes us pleasure. You see, a hunger striker, for example, can undergo physical pain, yet transform that experience into moral pleasure by focusing on the positive impact of calling the world's attention to their worthwhile cause. Each of us has this power of choice. The secret of success is learning how to use pain and how to use pleasure to your advantage. Is there an area of your life in which you feel unnecessary pain? Are you perhaps reacting rather than deliberately choosing? How could you change your focus or the way you interpret something and turn a seemingly painful event into a pleasurable opportunity to either learn or grow or help another person? What you link pain to and what you link pleasure to shapes your destiny. That's a pretty big statement to make, but I think you'll find it's true. You see, each of us has learned and adopted a unique pattern of behaviors to get ourselves out of pain in life and into pleasure. Some people do this by drinking alcohol, or by smoking, or by overeating, or by verbally abusing other people. Others do it by exercising, conversing, learning, helping others, or making a difference in some way. What are some of your pain-avoiding, or for that matter, pleasure-inducing patterns? How have these things shaped your life up until now? When you want to feel better, do you watch TV, light a cigarette, go to sleep? What are some of the more positive ways in which you could move from pain towards pleasure and create patterns that really improve your life starting today? For most people, their fear of loss is much greater than their desire for gain. Most individuals work much harder to hang on to what they have than to take the necessary risks to shoot for their real dreams. I'm here to tell you this is a trap you've got to break out of. And the way to do it is to make the things you want so compelling that you're willing to overcome your fear of loss and take the steps necessary to make your life happen at a brand new level. Often when we see greatness in others, we assume that they're just more fortunate or they're blessed with some kind of special gift. In reality, they've utilized a greater depth of their human resources simply because failing to be, do, and share their all would be the ultimate pain for them. If you look at the selfless life of someone like Mother Teresa, for example, you'll find that she's driven because she clearly associated other people being in pain meant she was in pain. This drives her to help almost anyone who suffers anywhere in the world. Her ultimate pleasure is alleviating their pain. But we'll explore this later on. You'll find out this was not always true in her life. But let me ask you, what gives you the most pain and what gives you the most pleasure in your life? And how is this shaping your decisions and therefore your life even today? Mixed emotions are behind most patterns of self-sabotage, and they certainly limit the level of enjoyment and the success that one can experience in life. For example, people often will say, I'd like to earn more money. Certainly these people have the ingenuity and the intelligence to figure out how to accomplish this task. So what stops them? What stops them is mixed emotions, or another word for it is mixed associations. They may believe that amassing wealth would give them more freedom or security or the ability to help those they love. But simultaneously, they may also associate having, quote, excess money is being wasteful or shallow or manipulative or non-spiritual. If you've ever found yourself taking two steps forward and one step back, invariably it's because you have mixed associations. You associate achieving your goal to both pain and to pleasure. Do you have any mixed associations that affect your life? Have you ever felt that no matter what you did, you'd get pain for it? For example, sometimes people feel that if they stay in a relationship, they'll be miserable. But if they leave, on the other hand, they'll be alone and even more miserable. As a result, they do nothing except feel miserable. Rather than feeling trapped, use your pain as your strongest ally. Think about what you've experienced in the past and what you're experiencing in the present, and actually allow yourself to feel the pain with such emotional intensity that it gives you leverage to finally do something about it. I call this reaching emotional threshold. Instead of passively waiting, way that motivates you to make a decision and take some action and make your life better starting right now, today. One of my definitions of success is to live your life in a way that causes you to consistently feel an immense amount of pleasure and very little pain, but while simultaneously having a lifestyle that positively affects the people around you, that causes the people around you to consistently feel more pleasure and less pain. To do this, we must grow and we must contribute. I have a question for you. Do you know how to make yourself feel good? Seems like a silly question, doesn't it? But most people are not consciously aware of how to do this in a way that's good for their body, their mind, their spirit, and their soul. If you want to feel completely happy, excited, and ecstatic right now, could you? You bet you could. All you have to change is one thing, what you're focusing on. Think for a moment and remember a time when you felt absolutely on top of the world. We've all had moments like that as a child or as an adult. Now picture that moment. Remember it in vivid detail. Listen to the sounds around you. Feel your pulse begin to race. Breathe the way you were breathing back then, right now, and put that same expression on your face. Maybe even move your body like you did then. Do you feel even a hint of that excitement again? Is it possible that you could feel this way anytime you wanted to? The answer is yes. The problem is most people focus on their worst memories. They remember them in detail and feel like hell. Use your mind by controlling what you focus on, and you can have as much joy as you desire. Changing focus is only one way to change your emotional state. An even quicker way, a more powerful way, is to change the way you use your physical body, what we call your physiology. For example, when most people don't like how they feel, what do? They drink alcohol, they go eat, they smoke, they sleep, they use some drug, or they use some positive strategies like dancing or singing or exercising or making love or reading. Every emotion you feel has a specific physiology attached to it. For example, when people are depressed, what's their posture like? Their shoulders are drooping, right? Where's their head? Hanging down. What's their breathing like, full or shallow? You know the answer, it's shallow. Their facial expression, is it up and tight or slack? Of course it's slack. Conversely, when people say they're feeling really happy and up, what happens to their body? You and I both know personally, our shoulders rise, our heads lift, our breathing is full. Now here's the secret. You and I can consciously command these changes in our physiology and immediately produce the emotional states we desire. All you have to do is move differently. If I clap my hands like this, if I snap my fingers like this, if I talk more rapidly like this, there's going to be a different energy level than if I start talking like this and moving like this. Physiology is everything. Change the pace of your movement, change the intensity of your movement, and you change your life. Age is more a matter of focus and physiology than it really is chronology. Many people have lived many years but still have a skip in their walk and flexibility in their thought. A simple example of this is found on a rainy day. What does an old person, quote-unquote, do when there's a puddle in front of their path? Well, of course, they walk around it, but they don't just do that. They complain about it the whole time. On the other hand, what does a child do, or those that are still young at heart? They might jump right in, laugh, splash around, or even have a good time. Listen, I want to remind you of what you already know. You got to take time to enjoy life's puddles. You got to live with a spring in your step, a smile on your face. You got to make cheerfulness and outrageousness and playfulness new priorities for your life. You're alive. You can feel good for no reason at all. You need no excuse to feel good. So do it starting right now. A fantastic analogy for the power of focus is in racing cars. The first time I ever took a lesson in this, it blew my mind. Because inevitably, when your car begins to skid out of control, your natural reflex is to look at the wall in an attempt to avoid it. But if you keep focusing on what you fear, that's exactly where you'll end up. When you become a professional racer, the thing you learn is that we all unconsciously steer in the direction of our focus. So if you're staring at that wall, that's exactly where you're going to go. What you have to be willing to do is have faith. You've got to turn your head and look in the direction you want, the direction of the open track, even though you're still heading towards the wall. But you know what happens in the last moment? The tires catch, and you turn in the direction you want to go. That's only if you maintain your focus on what you want. In life, most people focus on what they don't want instead of what they do. If you'll resist your fear and have some faith and discipline your focus, your actions will naturally take you in the direction you want to go. Release your fears and focus right now on what do you truly desire and what do you truly deserve. To travel the high road from pain and into pleasure, you need to discover numerous positive ways to change your outlook. Consider some of these simple strategies. You could just sing along with your favorite music. That immediately changes the way you feel. Or you could read something that offers information that you can immediately apply to your life. Or you could laugh at a funny movie or a show, or swim several laps in a swimming pool. Or maybe share a meal with your family or with a friend. You could dance, even though you don't think you can, do it anyway. You could soak in a warm tub. You could come up with 5 new ideas to make your life better. You could get to know a stranger. You could tell silly jokes to a friend, knowing that they'll probably still like you afterwards anyway. You could listen to a tape by your favorite author. Just kidding. You could write in your journal. You could hug and kiss your spouse. Pick one of these right now and try it. See if it changes your state. Part 3, the power to create, the power to destroy. What is the force that determines what we try or fail to try to accomplish in our lives? It's our beliefs. Beliefs about what we're capable of, about what's possible or what's impossible, about who we are as people. In the Haitian cultures, a person's belief is the deadly power of the witch doctor, quote, pointing the bone. This can indeed cause death. But the real killer is simply the sense of certainty, the belief that the witch doctor has total power over our body. And when we have that level of certainty, our body responds accordingly. In your own life, do you have a set of negative expectations? What effects have they had on your life, if you have any? What are some of the most empowering beliefs, by contrast, that have really positively shaped your life? What new positive expectations could you set yourself up with right now that could change the way you think, the way you feel, the decisions you make, and what you're willing to try day to day? For thousands of years, it was known that no human being could run a 4-minute mile. It was physically impossible. Yet Roger Bannister shattered this belief when he ran a 3:59 mile. Now, how did he do it? He started by practicing in his mind's eye. He repeatedly visualized his triumph so intensely that his emotional certainty gave him an unquestioned command to his nervous system, and he finally achieved physically the results that he had matched in his mental picture. Falling in Bannister's stride and believing that they too could do it, within 1 year, several other people duplicated this feat when no one had done it in thousands of years. What barrier do you need to burst through? What's your 4-minute mile? What do you perceive as being impossible today that if you were certain it was possible, you'd find a way to achieve it? What's a belief that if you changed it, it would change not only your life, but the lives of those around you as well? For most of my life, I've asked myself a question. Why do people do what they do? And the answer is simple. It's all a matter of their beliefs. As crazy as it may sound, if people believe that drilling holes in their heads will cure sickness, they'll do it. And by the way, they have. And they'll do it whether that belief is well-founded or not. If, by contrast, someone believes that their happiness in life depends upon helping others to be happy, then they'll be equally driven to do that. Beliefs make the difference between a lifetime of misery and one of joyous contribution. Beliefs are what separate a Mozart from a Manson, causing some individuals to become heroes while others resign themselves to wondering what they could have been. What beliefs are at work in the actions of those around you? What beliefs are shaping their lives? For that matter, what beliefs do you share with your colleagues or your children or your parents? What's a new belief that if you adopted it today, it would open up a whole new set of possibilities for your life? Beliefs have the power to create and the power to destroy. Because of their amazing influence on our lives, we must understand 3 challenges. Number one, most of us do not consciously decide what we're going to believe. We just kind of pick up our beliefs along the way, and yet they shape how we think, how we feel, and what we do every moment of our lives. Number two, often our beliefs are based on misinterpretations of past events. And number three, once we adopt a belief, we tend to consider it gospel. We look for ways to back it up, to reinforce it, to be even more certain about it. And we forget that it's only one perspective that we've adopted some time ago. Do you have any beliefs that you take for granted to be true? What are some of the contrary beliefs that might also be true? How would your life be different if you really adopted the opposite view